All right, let's go ahead and get started. I see we are at 2:30. So thanks again for everybody joining the call today. We took a week off with the holiday weekend. So I hope everybody could enjoy the weather and get out and have a good time for a little change. So overall, I think there's still a lot going on with COVID, and I think that we need to continue the discussions as we move forward in what the new normal is. So we do have Jessica Fisher on the agenda, but I do not see her online yet. Let me see. There she is. She's just starting in, so we'll give her a second to connect to the audio. Jessica, are you there? Can you hear us, Jessica?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me, Tom?
I can. So you're up on the agenda, so we'll let you go and get started.
All right. So I wanted to give you guys just a quick update on case counts, kind of where we're at here on things. Apologize, Tom. I'm getting my video started.
Nope, you're fine.
All right. So total positive cases that are on the map right now that I just recently pulled, 13,261 positive cases. The total tested is 95,187. Tested but not detected is just a little bit over 81,000 with a total of 164 deaths. One thing that we learned on the state calls that we participate on weekly is we do continue to see the uphill climb in COVID-19 cases in Douglas County and a little bit of an incline in Sarpy County as well. All the other Nebraska counties are tending to, you know, level out. The numbers aren't climbing rapidly right now based upon the information that we're receiving on our calls. So I think probably the biggest thing, Tom, for Tri-Valley Health System, as many of you guys are aware, based upon some press releases and Facebook and many things, is phase two is going to start on Monday, June 1st. So what phase two means for Tri-Valley Health System is the Wellness Center is going to be open. The Wellness Center is going to be open with restrictions. So maximum of 25 people. The CDC is recommending the masks. That will be to the discretion of the Wellness Center members. We are encouraging hand hygiene, using the sanitizer. We're also asking all of our members to clean the equipment prior to use, clean the equipment after use. And something that's going to be a little bit different is all Wellness Center members are going to have to be doing a self-screening when they're entering into the building. So what we have is we have a log that they'll fill out. They're going to answer questions. Do you have a cough? Do you have shortness of breath? Do you have any travel history to any of the COVID-19 areas that are considered hotspots? And there's a couple other questions related to symptomology. And then we also have a thermometer. We'll ask them to simply scan their forehead and document their temperature before they walk into the Wellness Center. So these are the same restrictions that we also have in place. We're going to start massage therapy again. The only thing that's different with massage therapy with the directive health measure that's starting June 1 is the participants, the patron that's having the massage and the massage therapist will have to wear the mask the entire time. Both for the Wellness Center and for massage therapy, if you do not have a mask, we have masks available to provide those members and the patrons that are receiving a massage. Another update for Tri-Valley Health System is many of you guys saw we're going to be able to open up the auxiliary thrift shop on Monday, June 1 as well. Same restrictions apply there, maximum of 25 people. This is including our auxiliary members and staff. We are asking at this time no children under the age of 15 until further notice. We are asking all patrons that are going into the auxiliary thrift shop to have a mask. If you do not have one, we have one to provide for you. One thing that you're going to notice at the thrift shop is the dressing rooms have big X's on them just to ensure the compliance with cleaning and disinfecting after each patron. We have closed off our dressing rooms at this time. Again, you're going to notice signs on the floors that check out to ensure there's 6 feet distance. And you'll notice lots of hand sanitizers. We're continuing to encourage hand hygiene. As for Tri-Valley, effective June 1, we still have all restrictions that apply. We still have our visitor restrictions in place. All employees and all of our patients will continue to wear masks. Tom, I think that's kind of a brief recap for Tri-Valley Health System that's going to be changing as of Monday, June 1, according to the updated directive health measure.
So with the auxiliary, are they accepting donations now?
Yes, they are, Tom.
Okay. Additionally, what are you seeing on the local, more localized side of the numbers of cases that the health department's been putting out? I haven't followed that too closely in the last week or so.
So, Tom, I have not pulled up the health department as of today. If you give me just a second, I'll pull what their recent update is on their numbers.
Okay.
And while I'm looking that up, are there any other questions that may be out there?
Any questions for Jessica on that? I think that it's great that things are opening up. I think that allows for a little bit of normalcy, but I'm glad to see there's still some precautions that are occurring that need to occur there. So, but, okay.
And Tom, I think one of the other biggest things I just want to continue to re-emphasize and to re-encourage is, the CDC is still recommending the face covering. We have not seen any indication that is lifting. So as we continue to protect ourselves, protect patients, protect our communities, is wearing that face covering is still recommended by the CDC and by the health department. I know that it's not everybody's favorite accessory to wear that face covering, but that is the recommendation and the direction that we're being provided at this time.
So we have a question from John on if he has an appointment, which door would he enter? Is it still running the split door concept?
Yep, it is. So John, that's a great question. So we are continuing with our north entrance as our sick clinic. We're still encouraging everybody to call ahead, but if you are going to be seen for a well visit, you'll use our main entrance here at Tri-Valley Health System. We still have it set up at our offsite clinics, both at Arapahoe and Indianola. So the AM is for the well, and we're scheduling our sick patients in the afternoon. So just so we ensure the cleanliness, the safety of employees and our communities, so that way we're not mixing those who are experiencing sick symptoms and those that are just coming in for an annual visit or a chronic care visit with no fever or no symptoms.
Great, thank you. Anything else for Jessica? All right, moving along, I will go to Mr. Shepherd as he will give us a school update, and I'm sure that there's plenty going on over there at the school.
We always have plenty going on. It doesn't matter whether we're opened or closed. Just a couple updates. One is I would encourage everyone, as they see or they hear information, if it has not come from Greg Shepherd or from Jared Albers, I would put a red flag up and maybe question some of it. We had some information going out in regards to athletics and weight programs, and there was some that was misinformation, and so we're posting things on our Facebook and on our website, and I would direct everyone to that. And if it's not posted by myself or Jared, definitely give us a call at the school. Couple things. One is graduation. That's been a big topic. And they are going to now allow us to have graduation. Mr. Albers will be posting some information to our parents and to the community in that regards, but it will be on June 20th. And we're going to be flexible with it because it will be held outdoors in the stadium, which may be a first for Cambridge. But we feel that we can best serve the community and keep everyone safe by having it outdoors. So that's going to also mean flexibility. We're going to have multiple times based on the weather. So our initial time will be like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but it might get bumped to 4 o'clock. If it's a washout day, it may get bumped to Sunday. That is Father's Day weekend, so we're kind of flip-flopping. Instead of Mother's Day weekend, we're going to Father's Day weekend. So we're going to look at it from a positive perspective. One of the things that I was very happy with that, and kind of a pat on the back to the Nebraska Department of Education and also the governor's office, but myself along with four other superintendents along with NERCSA representation put together a request to the governor that was sponsored then by over 100 superintendents. And part of it was we were asking that they would open up for graduations, but that they would also open up for, in the school districts, start allowing for more decision-making at the local level. You know, as we watch the governor's press conferences each day, you know, a lot of times the mayor of Lincoln, the mayor of Omaha, the mayor of Fremont and Bellevue, along with health leadership and along with other local leaders from the school district and other areas are included, and they come together and they make those decisions. And what we asked was for some of us smaller communities and smaller school districts, allow for us that same level of decision making. And so the response today that did come out in regards to graduation, we were very happy with, and we appreciated them listening to what we had to say. And I would hope that in the future too, you know, that local leadership would be given those opportunities to make some of those decisions based on what's going on in our community. In regards to weights and athletics, just like the hospital, we will also be opening up our weight room and our weight program. We're actually very excited about that because we've got a new program that we're going to be implementing with our kids through Explosive Edge, which is associated with the University of Nebraska, Boyd Epley, Zach Duval, and the whole crew from there. So our kids are going to really get some great training. We will adhere to all of the recommendations. We all know that 2 weeks ago they were going to allow us 10 kids. Now that's increased already before the June 1st time frame to 25. Our groups will be smaller groups. They will rotate in and out. But we will take advantage of that for our students. And then in regards to athletics, not all athletics are going to be opened up yet or allowed, but I can tell you from the indoor perspective, volleyball is one sport that was chosen. We can actually have camps and workouts and training. And so our volleyball staff and athletic director will be working on that to make available to all of our community and all of our kids the opportunity to participate in small groups in regards to camps. And I'm anticipating that'll be the month of June, and then as we hit towards July, they'll probably open it up to basketball, football, and a few other sports too. So we'll kind of see how that goes. Today the staff was working on summer school. We are allowed to have summer school, so we have kids that have been identified with needs in regards to summer school. Those parents and kids are being notified, and we will have a summer school program available to our students, which I think is also a huge plus. Again, we'll follow the guidelines and have this in smaller groups too. And then lastly, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there in the media in regards to school in the fall, all the way from that school's not going to start on time, that school may be all electronic for a while, to we're going to open normal. And, you know, I'm kind of leaning personally and everything that I see and where things are at right now, I believe we'll be right on schedule, just like a lot of other superintendents feel, that, you know, we'll open the doors in August. And there's going to be obviously a lot of new requirements and expectations that will be learned as we go. But, you know, again, with that, we will adhere to whatever the recommendations are of our local health department and also the state. And but right now, you know, there's just a lot of talk out there in regards to education and what it's going to look like. I don't think anyone knows that. No one has that answer right now. And, you know, the example I gave 2 weeks ago, the governor was going to allow 10 people. A week later, that changed to 25. So things with this whole situation do change rapidly. And we're not going to get too excited about any one model. We're going to sit tight like we did with our e-learning program. And we're going to make sure whatever it is, it's well organized, ready to go, and nothing but a great positive experience for our kids. And so, you know, until you start seeing things coming out of my office or Mr. Albert's office through the school district, I wouldn't get too excited about what you read in the newspapers or the internet or see on TV. And that's kind of the update for the school district. We're moving along.
Excellent. Excellent. Are you anticipating the football start on time, I assume?
You know, that one, that's a tough one. And, you know, because that's one that's got a lot of different directions. And so we hope it does. But at the same time, that's a contact sport for the fall. And that may be one that could be looking. I know they're looking at potential, you know, shortened schedules or lengthened schedules to not include that first couple weeks to a month. So we'll kind of see where that one falls. But I think everything else will be opened up and running, and kids will be able to be involved. The other thing that I would mention, too, is that the lunch and breakfast program will continue as it has been through June 30th. Beyond June 30th, we just don't know yet. We have not been given that information. So we've got one more month of it. You know, we really enjoy providing that service to our community, and I think it's been a big plus and a big bonus for families. So we'll continue that for another month.
Great. Do you happen to have any feeling, Mr. Shepherd, about what the colleges are talking about maybe going through ending their semester at the Thanksgiving level and shortening some of the breaks in between August and Thanksgiving? Do you think that is a potential way that the NSA Department of Education in the state for the high school level and other levels would consider such a pathway like that?
You know, I think because of the college level, what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep those groups of kids together as long as they possibly can in their dorms and in their classroom settings, because that is kind of a focus. You know, they want us not to be changing kids from group to group and things along. They want the same groups of kids coming together on that regular basis. And what I am anticipating is that at the college level, I think that will be true. Rather than sending them home multiple times, just bring them together, send them home that one time for that winter break, and not have all the other breaks involved. And but I'm not sure that that'll have an impact on us, you know. And to be honest with you, I think we've already seen, you know, in comparison in a lot of these smaller communities, smaller school districts, there hasn't been a huge impact whatsoever. And, but, you know, we kind of stay contained, you know, and so that's a plus in my opinion. But yeah, I don't see that happening at the lower level K-12.
Do you anticipate that there'll be some mixing around on how maybe the school actually functions versus class periods and bells and moving around to different class periods? Are you anticipating that that's going to change for the students?
That's one thing that they've put out there, but I don't think that's going to happen. It may in some of the large districts, but I think in our smaller districts, I just don't see that as being a mandate. There may be some recommendations in that regards, but you know, we're a smaller school district, smaller community, and you know, so I'm just not seeing where that's going to be a big issue.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Shepherd? Well, thanks, Mr. Shepherd, for your time and being on the call. Again, it's always good information to kind of good forum to get out there and kind of tell what's fact and what's fiction of what's being spread around town. So this is a good venue for that. So thanks again.
You bet. Thank you, Tom.
Mayor Gunderson, do you have anything on the that you want to bring up that you've learned as well going forward regarding what the governor's saying and what the city's doing? Why don't you give us a little update?
I really got nothing since the last time we talked. There's nothing's new came out for us. And so I was just kind of on here to listen to what everybody else had to say.
All right.
I got nothing to add, really. I just, like I said, listening. So
All right. Yes,
unless you got a question for me.
All right. If there's any questions for Mayor Gunderson, he is on the call. So feel free to put it in the chat. If not, Melissa Jackson is on as well. And I wanted her to kind of touch base on the Gift Up program. And I see Jody Cobb is also on. So I will let you guys fight for the mic on that. And kind of give us an update on where that Gift Up program's at and what both Chamber and Economic Development have got going on in their ideas so far.
Sure. Thank you. You know how much I love being on video. If you can't hear me very well, let me know. I've been having, sorry, Tom, some connection interruptions here at home. So as of Tuesday, we had a chamber board meeting, and the Gift Up program has been a huge success. It is wonderful. As of Tuesday, we had 7 businesses that have already met $3,000 cap. You can still continue to buy gift cards from them, of course, but they just don't receive the matching funds from ED and Chamber. With those 7 businesses, Economic Development has already paid out than $12,000 in matching funds, and Chamber has paid out over $400 in administrative fees. So that does go until Sunday. We are in discussions again about possibly extending the program. Those details can be discussed at a later date once we decide finally what that's going to look like. But our businesses are super excited about it. We have just seen a very many people already supported our businesses. And I know a lot of them are doing their normal shopping, but they're doing it with that in mind just to help our businesses out. So it has been a wild success, and we're super excited about this partnership.
Great. Jody, do you have any input on anything else on the chamber and Gift Up that's you'd like to put in?
No, what Melissa had shared is exactly correct. We've just been thrilled to have a promotion that's been really successful for our businesses. So we're excited for them.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I think it's a good program, and it's being widely utilized from the numbers that I can see and continued to be utilized. So we look forward to seeing that. I have one question in the chat for Dave Gunderson. Any update on the pool or splash pad openings?
No, we'll discuss that at our city council meeting June 1st, that Monday.
Okay.
But we've been looking at it. You know, the governor still recommends wait until July 15th. Now the new DHMs come out. Everybody's going to start getting in larger groups on June 1st. He says him and his scientists from UNMC like to take 2 weeks to see what happens before they start doing stuff. So, and then he said he would issue an update regarding swimming pools come closer to July. So that's all I can tell you. We'll talk about it Monday, see what we can do and what we can get done and what our lawyers suggest. But it'll be discussed at our city council meeting Monday.
Okay. Excellent. Good information. Is Mark McCurdy on?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Mark, you want to give us an update coming from the pharmacy?
Sure. Actually, I'll start with what everybody's more concerned about. It's Shirley Hayes. We're kind of in a strange situation with the pharmacy and the coffee shop, but we have a mixed set of rules that we have to take into account. And so one of the things that we're looking at is as things are, we had an OSHA guidance that came out earlier this week and a CDC guidance that came out yesterday. So we're trying to take all that in plus with the governor throughout today. So we're probably looking at sometime next week. We have some things on order we need to get here to prepare for, but So we're looking at some limited seating at Shirley K's starting sometime next week. That's about as specific as I can get because I'm not the boss of that part. So we'll probably look at some outside seating options when, if the weather cooperates with us, but that's kind of the plan for Shirley K's. Pharmacy wise, I know we made the announcement last month that we had a couple of grants for diabetes education. And so it looks like that's there's some prep involved that got delayed because of the virus. And so we're probably going to start those education sessions in the middle of July. And one thing that we were needing to do with that is do some public screenings, which obviously you don't want people getting out in groups or coming down in hordes to do some screening. So we're trying to figure out some ways to get that done between or sometime in the next month. So we're kind of gearing up for that, still kind of struggling with some of the protective equipment that we need to do all that, but things are slowly coming together. We kind of learned the example because we've been handing out hand sanitizer from the ethanol plant, thanks Jan and the ethanol plant people, and also masks to high-risk people. And so we've handed out over 400 masks and 400 bottles of hand sanitizer without really inviting people down and saying, come get it. We've just engaged people with that. So we're looking at, again, as things loosen up, figuring out ways to get that done. I mentioned the OSHA and CDC stuff is, you know, they're talking about phases of relaxing things, but still, irregardless of that, what we're looking at is that there's basically five things that you can do to stop the spread. There's no treatment, there's no virus. So you're still looking at distance, mask, hand washing and sanitizing, monitoring for symptoms, and staying home if you're sick. So matter if we're phase zero or three, those are the things that are being suggested right now, irregardless of what the stage is. So I know people are uncomfortable with masks, like what Jessica had to say, that was good information. But we're really looking at having that. In fact, there were studies out this week that said if 60% of the people wore the procedure mask, that would stop the spread of the virus. That would reach the, what they call it, the R1. So that's going to be emphasized. I just wanted to give you a heads up with that. Otherwise, I really don't have anything else. We're still trying to keep doing what we're doing. It seems like in the pharmacy world, we're kind of ahead by keeping the doors open. So we've been getting some calls from other places about what are you doing to control the risk? But that's all I've got.
That's good information, Mark. As we get into, and it was kind of a notice of mine over the holiday weekend, as people start to get out and about, and we hear of the relaxations of DHMs and things like that are going on, I think it's very easy for us to slip into that more complacent of, well, everything must be fine. I mean, obviously this virus has not gone away. It's still a threat to people. It's still a risk and can still explode on us, which being where we are at and looking at the cases that are local with only 18 reported cases in here, there's still a lot of people that have the risk of being infected in our region that we look at just locally. And so I think it's important for what you said of the five things to be considerate of as we go forward and we try to relax some of the DHMs and open up some of the offices and things that are going on. And as we spend more time with people or around people, as the 10 person goes from 25 and is to still be vigilant on, you know, the social distancing, obviously the mask conversation is a very good conversation. And I think there are statistics that do prove that, but I think it's important for us as a community to keep that, to be vigilant in that conversation still. And that's why we're still holding these town hall meetings, is that I do believe that it is still important to be discussing these things and keeping people in the loop. You know, our agendas are obviously shorter, but the risk is still real until there is actually a vaccination of some sort that to help curb the spread of this thing. And I think everybody's impacted differently when they do catch it. It depends on what you get, and it's so widely on every side of the fence. And so I think that there's so many unknowns that we have to remain as vigilant as we possibly can. So, you know, I thank everybody that comes to these calls and gets the information, because I do believe that y'all believe that it is important. And we'll continue to have these as we go forward. So any questions for any of our people that we're talking on today, or anybody else that maybe is, you can see on the call that you have a question for, or ourselves? Okay. If not, we're planning to do this again next week. So we'll keep it as a standing meeting to continue to update people. We think that is important. And I want to thank everybody for being vigilant, and hope everybody had a great Memorial weekend. And hopefully you can have a great weekend this weekend with maybe no rain like we had last weekend. So having no questions, I will close it out from there. So thanks everybody for attending. Have a great weekend.